So many terrible ideas came out of the 1960s rebellion against authority. It fooled us because it came attached to such exciting entertainment, especially in popular music. The rock group The Who expressed one aspect of that rebellion in their line, "I don't need to be forgiven." This idea, this belief, is now in our language, in our minds, and in our hearts as a culture. I don't need to be forgiven. This denial of sin is a betrayal of who we are and the fact that we are made for relationship with one another and with God. And that does not happen without acknowledgement of sin and the need for forgiveness. It's not a new issue, of course. Jesus spoke about it all the time. Jesus affirmed that loving relationship involves reconciliation. And he warned about the consequences of a lack of forgiveness. It's nothing short of disastrous for an individual or a society. So this is the great idolatry that confronts me every day. Will I trust in my own limited capacity to achieve the meaning and the purpose of life? Will I be the master of my own fate, as the poem goes? Will I be the captain of my own soul? This may be a very popular movie that incorporated this idea, but it's a terrifying one at the same time. Why else would there be a profound anxiety as the number one malady of our time, the disease of our time, or the dis-ease of our time? But our faith is centered on the one who is forgiveness, Jesus himself. What does Jesus say in today's gospel? Everyone who acknowledges me, before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But whoever denies me before others will be denied before the angels of God. So our own activity, our own attitude plays a role. This being denied before the angels is not a punishment. That's the way it looks, but it's not a punishment for not believing in Jesus. It's simply the consequence of the choice that we make, the direct consequence of deliberately placing God outside of our lives. Faith in Jesus is faith in a promise, but not just any promise. The psalmist calls it a holy promise. Now, a holy promise is also called a covenant. And a covenant is not a contract in the modern sense, where I give only my signature on a piece of paper, agreeing to certain terms for the mutual benefit of two parties. Covenant involves the whole person who makes the promise. Now, when God makes a holy promise, it is permanent. The psalmist says, "The Lord remembers his covenant forever." Emphasizing the point, God remembers his covenant for 1,000 generations, which essentially means the same thing. It is everlasting. It applies to all times and all places. There was a play in Shakespeare's time. In it, a doctor with many natural gifts feels like he's not getting the admiration that he deserves. And he makes that classic deal with the devil. He signs away his soul with his blood in exchange for 20 years of fame and fortune. And during that 20 years, he's wined and dined by royalty throughout Europe. As his time comes to an end, he realizes that he has really gotten almost nothing of real value to compare with his eternal soul. So he sinks into a despair while waiting for the devil to come and to claim him. Why this play made a particular impact on me is that it contradicts the conventional thinking that a deal made with the devil has no way out from the time that that deal is made. In the play, an angel comes to the doctor just before his death, telling him that even now God's mercy is available to him if he will only turn and accept it. For a moment, the doctor is hopeful. He smiles and he asks, "Really? Even after what I have done?" The angel assures him that it is true. In the play, it's clear that the doctor believes the angel, but he can't make himself accept forgiveness and mercy. He turns away from God's angel and thus assures his eternal damnation. The Catechism of the Catholic Church clearly answers the question that is often asked about the question that comes up in today's gospel. What is the sin against the Holy Spirit that cannot be forgiven? It says, whoever blasphemes against, well, repeating Jesus' words, whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. There are no limits to God's mercy, but anyone who deliberately refuses to accept his mercy and repenting rejects the forgiveness of his sins and the salvation offered by the Holy Spirit. And the Catechism concludes this little section in response to this question by saying, such hardness of heart can lead to final impenitence and eternal loss. So it is we who ultimately condemn ourselves by not trusting in the promise. Unlike Our Lady, our Blessed Mother, who believed in the promise of God even though she didn't fully understand it, we will never be outside the promise. We have the freedom to reject it. And the ultimate and indelible sign of the promise is Jesus himself. Today we will respond to God's faithful promise, signed with the blood of Jesus Christ himself. Today we will be asked again, will you accept my invitation to mercy and forgiveness, and in turn offer it to all whom you meet? The promise is God's. The choice is ours.